Thanks, Luke. Good morning. Holiness. Luke just read from Matthew. It says, "Hallowed be your name. May your name be kept holy." I think that's a responsibility that we have. And the other verse talks about, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. You won't get to heaven without holiness. We'll talk about that some more. But first, I want to talk about something that's not so holy. Maps. Who knows what a map is? Oh, some people aren't paying attention because everybody knows what a map is, right? I loved maps as a kid. We'd go on trips as a family. I had 5 siblings, and I would always sit next to my dad with the maps. I don't know why my siblings didn't care. They never looked at the maps. I always looked at the maps. I'd study the maps. I'd navigate for my dad, plan out stops, gas, food, whatever, lodging. It was fun. But then recently, my wife and I, we traveled over to Israel. Roland and Margaret, it's their fault. They told us about their fun trip, and we decided we had to do that. But there was a guided tour for a week in Israel. And I never looked at a map. Can you believe that? How foolish was that? Because I didn't know where they were going, and I didn't, what are you going to look at? So I didn't look at a map. I didn't even bring a map. I was sorry when I got there. I didn't have a map. I bought one later at the end of the week. I found one. But so we're traveling around Israel, and I don't have a map. And I kind of feel like lost a little bit. I want to know where we're going. I want to know what's next and what's up ahead. But to top it off, the tour guide, one day he said, "What 3 cities did the Philistines capture? What important cities?" And it's talked about in our scripture today, 1 Samuel. But I didn't know the answer because I didn't remember and I didn't have a map to even look at. How many of you know what 3 cities? You don't have a map in front of you either, do you? The cities are Ashdod, Ekron, and Gath. He said it Gath. It's G-A-T-H, Gath, we would say. But he had this strong accent, Gath. And I'm like, Gath, never heard of that one. But it was interesting. Okay, sorry about that. So 1 Samuel 4 talks about the Philistines in battle with Israel and capturing cities. Why this story? Why am I sharing about this story? Because it shows us a glimpse of God's holiness. Let me give you an overview of 1 Samuel 4. Israel was at war with the Philistines. The Philistines attacked and they defeated Israel. In fact, 4,000 of the Israelites died that day. And the elders of Israel, they came together and said, "What happened? Why did the Lord allow us to be defeated?" They were shocked. They had a God who was powerful. A God who could help them win in every battle. But they lost this battle. And they were confused and frustrated. And they were surprised. They decided, "Let's go get the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant. Let's bring it into battle with us next time. Like a lucky charm, like a rabbit's foot. And then we'll be fine, right?" Did God direct them to do that? No, they decided on their own that this would be a good idea. So they went and got the ark. Verse 4. They sent men to bring the ark of the covenant. And when all the Israelites saw the ark of the covenant of the Lord coming into camp, their shout of joy was so loud it made the ground shake. Now I know we cheer a lot for sport events, but I've never felt the ground shake at a whale pony football game. Have you? I haven't. That's amazing. In fact, the Philistines heard the shouts of excitement and joy. What's going on? What's all the shouting in the Hebrew camp? And then they were told that the Ark of the Lord was arriving. Verse 7, it says, they panicked. They knew that their God, the Israelite God, was more powerful than their God. They knew that. I don't know why they didn't switch over to have a different God at that point, but they knew that. And they said to each other, the gods have come into their camp. This is a disaster. They were concerned. They were nervous. They thought, wow, the battle is now going to go the other direction next time. But they were stubborn. They thought they could still do it. Verse 9, the leader said, fight as never before, Philistines. And so they did. They fought desperately. And Israel was defeated again, even though the ark was with them in battle. The slaughter was great. 30,000 Israelite soldiers died at that battle. The survivors turned and fled, it says. The ark of God was captured. Not only did they lose the battle, they lost 30,000, they lost the ark of the covenant. Verse 9. This is important. That day it was said, the glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God has been captured. The glory has departed from Israel. They knew they were in trouble. This was important. This little box that God had proclaimed special. They lost it. They lost the battle, but they lost the ark. God is holy. We know this. But God had placed his holiness over the ark. He had attached his holiness to the ark. Some things are hard for us to understand. And I could name a few, but holiness is hard for me to understand. I can understand that God is without sin. But what does it mean to attach his holiness to the ark? All I know, it was very special. God's glory had departed Israel that day. I read this quote, commentary about these verses. The holiness of God is an infinitely positive, beautiful, and good feature of God's character, which God's people will enjoy and worship forever. But for unholy people who dishonor and disobey God, who choose sin, the holiness of God means trouble. And we can see that. It was trouble for the Philistines. Chapter 5 of 1 Samuel. They captured the Ark of God, and the Philistines took it to Ashdod. Remember, I talked about the map, and Ashdod, that's the first city that you need to remember when you go on that tour in Israel. Talk to Roland. He'll help you decide you need to go there. They brought it to Ashdod. What if we brought the Ark? What if we're the Philistines, and we bring the Ark to Warren? That's crazy. They knew that this God was powerful. They knew that this was special. They carried the Ark of God into the temple of Dagon, their god, their idol. They brought it into the temple. And they placed it beside the idol of Dagon. The next morning, they went into the temple. Dagon had fallen on his face. Now, that's crazy, right? This ark was special. The people didn't figure it out. They tipped Dagon back up. And the next morning, Dagon was falling over on his face again. And his hands and his face was broken off. This ark was special. And that's not all. Verse 6, it says, then the Lord's heavy hand struck the people of Ashdod and the nearby villages with a plague of tumors. So their god, their idol, had fallen over and broken. Now the people are getting tumors. What should we do, they said? What should we do with this ark? We've got to get rid of it. It's killing us. So the rulers discussed it and replied, move it to the town of Gath. That's the second city, Gath. Let's move it over to to Angus or Alvarado or up to Argyle. Yeah, the Argyle. Let's give it to them. If you lived in Argyle and you heard what happened in Warren, you'd be like, what? Put a barricade at the city gate there. Stop them. But they did. They brought it to Gott. When the ark arrived in Gott, the Lord's heavy hand fell on its men, young and old. He struck them with a plague of tumors, and there was great panic. Now what should we do? They were trying to figure out what to do. These were foolish men, I think. Let's send it over to Stephen or Oslo. We got to keep it, right? Let's bring it over to Ekron. It went to Ekron. That's the third city. The Philistines sent it to Ekron. But the people of Ekron saw it coming and they cried, they're bringing the Ark of God of Israel here to kill us. They knew what the effect would be. They were nervous, panic. We've got to get back to Israel or it'll kill all of us. This story from 1 Samuel is about lots of people, including priests, who sinned against God's holiness, against his temple, against the Ark, who treated God without proper reverence to his holiness. And as a result, many died or were sick. They brought it in like a lucky charm. They thought, okay, this Ark of God, we'll put it with Dagon and we'll be even more powerful. No, they were dying. They didn't understand God's holiness. They didn't understand that God was a righteous God, and he couldn't be next to this idol of theirs, Dagon. There's more stories in here. People dying. Eli the priest had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and they were trouble. They were priests, but they were evil in their own way, and they didn't do what was right. And they disregarded the rules about the Ark of the Covenant. And one day, they suffered judgment, and they died. And Eli, the priest, heard about that, and he fell over, and he died. God's holiness was attached to the Ark. When people didn't treat it well or properly, they would die. The idol Dagon, he couldn't stand up to the Ark, next to the Ark of the Covenant, he fell over. He fell over again and he broke to pieces. There were priests. It talks about in chapter 6, priests of Beth Shemesh. And they were curious. They knew better. But they all peeked into the Ark to see what was in there. 70 priests died. Just because they looked into the Ark, they knew better. God's holiness was attached to the Ark. And lots of people died. Not that he desired that they died. He desires us to live. Ezekiel 33:11 says, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they would turn from their ways and live. Turn from your evil ways. Do you hear God? He's imploring you to turn from your evil ways. He wants you to live. He wants to give you eternal life. He sent his one and only Son to give us eternal life in heaven. He wants us to live and not die. The wages of sin is death. Many of these men and women, they died because they didn't obey God's rules. They sinned. And someday, we're going to meet God in heaven. At the gate. However it happens. Judgment Day. Heaven or hell is your destination. The moment we sin, we forfeit the privilege to live. God gives us a gift of life. He created us to be moral beings in His image and to live in the universe. But there's consequences to doing wrong. He desires that we do right, but there's consequences. The wages of sin is death. And that's played out in 1 Samuel. It's also seen in the New Testament. You've heard about the story of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5. They lied to the Holy Spirit about how much money they had taken in. And they fell dead that day. I'm thankful that we don't see that type of judgment here. People falling dead as they say something, a lie, and fall dead. We'd have a small group here, probably. Maybe nobody. God is merciful. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. We need to grab hold of that. We need to tell others about that. You might be sitting there like, I know this. I'm going to heaven. Well, are you telling other people? When you get to heaven, are you going to wish, oh, I should have shared with my neighbor. I wish they were in heaven. I had opportunity. Or you might be thinking, what kind of God is this that He has people drop dead? Oh, is that fair? Do we judge God? Psalm 115:3 says, our God is in heaven. He does whatever He pleases. He's a righteous God. He's a just God. But He can do whatever He pleases. We don't get to judge Him. We don't get to say, wow, that's not fair. As much as we might want to. God is the giver of life. He's the ultimate judge. He decides how long we're going to live. Every one of us. He determines the number of days. In fact, Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. God's holiness is in His judgment. God's holiness is in His love. 2 Peter 3:9 says, God is not wishing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance. He wants us to repent and live. He wants us to get to heaven. Can you stand before this holy God? Are you prepared for Judgment Day? We saw many people falling dead in this story. They probably thought they were ready for that day, but that day they dropped dead. Someday we're going to be at Judgment Day. Will you get to go into heaven, or will you be judged and go to hell? We all have sinned. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ came to be our punishment, to be our sacrifice. He took the punishment. He died. We deserve that. We deserve to be on the cross because of our sins. That's the good news of the gospel. If you believe in Him and follow Him as your Lord and Savior, your sins are forgiven. You will be ready for Judgment Day. You will be ready to stand as holy before God. He sees you as holy when your sins are forgiven. It doesn't mean you're without sin, but you're seen as holy. We need to grab hold of that and be holy as God is holy. That's the good news. God's holiness is available to to each one of us. Grab hold of that today. Don't miss out. Nobody knows who's going to drop dead today, except God. You can stand before God and be holy. Let's pray as the music team comes up. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your mercy and grace that you pour out into our lives, that you desire for us to be saved. You could drop each one of us today. Drop us dead, Father, because we have sinned and we deserve that. But because of your mercy and grace, you allow us the opportunity to choose you, to choose life, to choose to be holy. Help us to choose that. Help us to be wise. Do it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.